Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for
Issues of Today.
Coming to you live. Here he is,
your host, Taj Longino.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Issues of the Day Talk Radio. What's going on? I want to thank everybody for tuning in, for listening in. All right? And I hope everybody's day, I hope everybody had a blessed day out there this Wednesday. Today, all right, part three of our segment on how to become better black men and black women. Monday night, we spoke on the attitude adjustment that's needed for us as men and for the women. Last night, I touched on how we can change certain things in our house, in our household, and how that plays a huge impact on a lot of things. Tonight, we're going to speak on our jobs, how to behave, how to go into a job interview, how to prepare for a job interview. Once you have a job, how to go about building relationships on the job, how far to take relationships on the job, how to conduct yourself in a certain way, okay? Because it may not be the job that you want. It may not be the career that you want. It may not. It might be a $2. It might be a $6-7 job. It might be a $40,000-$50,000 job. But you always, you certain things you can do to, just use that job where you're at that time to better yourself for something bigger and better that the Lord may have, that the Lord's going to have waiting for you after that. So you just use that as a stepping stone. But we're going to get into that part of today. Definitely, I want everybody to be able to call in to the show and get their point of view on how we can become better men and women in the workforce. All right? So that'll be coming up here shortly. But you know how I do every day. We do the song of the day. And today is Scarface featuring Tupac, a song called Smile. All right? Right here on Issues of the Day Talk Radio.
It's gonna be some stuff you're gonna see that's gonna make it hard to smile in the future. But through whatever you see, through all the rain and the pain, you gotta keep your sense of humor. You gotta be able to smile through all this bullshit.
Seeds and unanswered questions, keep
professor, curious G. Backstab and bleed, crooked thoughts, laced with weed. Learning, ducking straight shots, bullets be hot, stay burning, inhale the sherm smoke. Visualize the flames, well I've been smothered by my own pain. Strange whispers, cowards conversate, so quick to diss. Taking pictures for the feds and desperate hopes they get it. Hit us all, give us plenty centuries, forgive my sins. Since I ain't at many penitentiaries, the best revenge is fuck friends. We military minds, soldiers, busting shots blindly, trying to find Jehovah to help me. Somebody save me, lost and crazy, scared to drop a seed, hoping I ain't cursed my baby. Maybe now, niggas feel me now, pinching my pain, embrace my words, make the world change. And still I smell, nigga.
And now, moment of silence. Let us pray. And as you journey into outer space, may the angels help to lead the way. May the prayers that our families make shine upon your soul and keep it safe. And all the homies that have passed away, they're there to greet you as you pass the gate. And as you head to the tunnel's light, I hope it leads to eternal life. We save a prayer for the homie Pop.
Welcome back to the show. That was Scarface featuring Tupac. I'm sure everybody know that song, that Smile For Me. All right. If anybody out there is having an issue with listening to the show or hitting me up in the chat room, some kind of technical difficulty, please let me know. I'm trying to get a lot of things situated with this show that keeps going wrong. I've had several listeners that's had difficulty listening in on this show using a laptop. So I'm definitely working with the tech support trying to get this issue cleared up. But if you're having a hard time listening to me out there, please let me know. Feel free to tell me, okay? Back to the show. If you definitely want to call into the show and give your comment on tonight's segment on part three, you can definitely call 347-326-9697. And like I said, we're speaking on the aspect of how to perform and how to act in the workplace, okay? There's so many different things that you can do to you know, for us as black people to pretty much give off a positive perspective on us, you know, to our boss, to our coworkers, and so forth when we're on the job and how we conduct ourselves. And like I did on Tuesday and Monday, I'm going to speak on the brothers aspect of it first, the men, and then I'm going to go, you know, second half of the show, I'm going to speak on the women, okay? Anybody who definitely has a comment, please call in and definitely give your opinion on this, okay? Basically, when you're going for a job, let's just start there. When you're going for a job, I don't care if it's a job or if it's a job like McDonald's, Target, Walmart, or if it's a warehouse occupation, or if it's just a little, you know, if you're doing a little sit-down job, if you're, I'm stumbling on my words, if you're a call center, any type of job, okay, but if you're, even if you have a career, okay, if you're a stockbroker, if you're a lawyer or a doctor, or you're in construction of some sort, or you're working for the government, it's always different ways that you need to prepare every day for that job. Your appearance, your hygiene, your mental, your conversation, everything. So So before we even get into that part, when you first apply for a job, when you fill out that application, what you put on that application can determine where an employer wants to call you back or not, or whether they're going to deal with you or not. So you want to make sure that you have all your ducks in a row. You want to make sure that that application is very neat, that it is presentable, that it is readable, because no employer is going to pay attention to an application that just has a bunch of scribble on it, or is like a second grader wrote it. So if you want people to actually pay attention, if you want people to actually pay attention and employees to want to hire you versus the next person, then you have to make sure that first your application is together. So when you have an application, ask for your first and answer all the questions to the best of your ability. If you don't have your work history in order, make sure, honestly, before you even do that, what you can do is like my father taught me, have a pre-application already written out. And what that is, you already know you're going to apply for this job. Okay, before you apply for that job, I already have written down that like a sampled application, so you can so you have to go off memory when you're trying to remember your days that you work, or old addresses and phone numbers and all that stuff that people forget. When you're doing references and so forth like that. You always have a pre-application already written out. So that way all you got to really do is when you get that application, when you go to that job or that career or whatever, the employer, you can sit right down and just transfer that information on that paper and it's less stress on you. Okay, minimize the time that you need to fill out that application, but make sure it's filled out correctly. Make sure that when you write it out that it's neat, that it's presentable. And when you go in to fill out the application, you want to go in looking presentable. I know some people think, I'm just going to pick up an app. It's not going to really matter how I look. But please believe me, the person that is handing you that application is going to be that same person that's going to tell their boss, I wouldn't even look at that. I can't believe how they came here looking. Did you see that? Or being on a cell phone talking. This is a job. This is a career that you want to go and be able to potentially earn some money, and you obviously went there for a reason, so don't screw it up. When you go in there to get an application, make sure that you have that you're presentable. You ain't on your cell phone. You ain't talking loud. You ain't using words you use in front of your friends. You got to still treat this like it's a job interview. So when you walk up, you want to say, yes, how you doing? I'm here to fill out an application for such and such a job. Okay. Thank you very much for the application. Can I fill it? They won't allow you to fill it out there. Take it home, fill it out, bring it back. Fill it out. When you do return it, don't say good luck and that's what's up. Thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it. Is there anybody I can contact to check the status of my application? If you like, get that contact information and then go on about your business and check up on that. Okay. That's the first step, and that's a good. And also when the filling application, once you're done doing that, you definitely want to get into calling a backup. Calling and following up, because that's your name and your phone number. You want that in lodged in their head, because you may not necessarily you'll get the job, but they will know you, and that can be the determining factor. Just the fact that they know that you called 30 times in 1 week, worrying about the job, they might look at that as this person really wants the job. We really need to look at this candidate, versus everybody else just putting their application, didn't even worry about it. Okay. Check, follow up. One thing that I used to do all the time with jobs. I used to just call employees and like, yes, how you doing? I put an application in 2 weeks ago and I haven't heard anything. I'm just calling to check on the status of it. Honestly, I put that application in like 2 days ago. They don't know that. But I'm just trying to get them to understand, it's just a game that you play. It's a game that you got to play, that you got to do just to, get to where you want to be and you want that job. All right, so that's one of the first steps. Make sure that the application is filled out correctly. Make sure it's neat. Make sure it's presentable when you're asking for it. Say thank you. Proper English. Follow up with your application. Now, when you step into that interview, they call you. When they call you, okay, let's say they call you, and they want to bring you in for an interview. You pick up the phone. Hello. And they say, yes, can I speak to Todd, please? Yes, how you doing? This is Todd speaking. How may I help you? know. And then when they go into the conversation, you want to use yes, sir, no, you know, yes, sir, no, sir, or yes, or whatever. You don't want to be like, yeah, man, that's cool, or, you know, leave all the slang and all that kind of stuff, that you, how you talk to your friends. You know, leave that. Apologize for that. I'm trying to get some tech support worked out with my listeners and so forth. Sorry about that, guys. You know, when they call you for that job interview, you definitely want to talk professional, almost like an interview, because they really don't have to call you in there. But if you talk with the right tone of voice, ask the right questions, say the right things, you get that job interview. When you go to that job interview, they're already going to have that in the back of their mind. Hold on, just that we're trying to get people help, being to listen to the show again. Just a second here. We're having some problems today, but we all right. Anyway, if you want, and it's time to get ready and prepare for that job interview, you definitely want to be presentable. Okay? You definitely want to be presentable. You want to step in there like you're going for a job that was paying you $100,000 a year. It may be only $9 job, it may be $15 job, but you want to step in there like, I'm coming to take this, and ain't nobody else taking it from me. So you want to have your clothes ironed and creased out. You want to have your hair together. You want to have your breath together. You want to have your thoughts and your answers and your questions together. You want to be sitting down very professional. You don't want to be slouched all down the seat, cell phone going off. I hopped back out 10 minutes. You know, you don't want to give no indication. You have... Else's might be we have a small room for error when it comes to employment. So we have to, especially with, Spanish taking over a lot of the job market now, we don't have a lot of room for error. Okay? So when we step into an employer's office for a job interview, we need to step in there prepared. Now, if you're going for, like, a blue collar area job where it's construction or it's warehouse or something, well, then a suit is not probably, it's not really necessary, okay? Or a dress up skirt if you're ladies is not really, you know, always necessary. You can go with some casual pants of some sort and a polo button up, you know, something of that nature, okay? But when you step in there like you mean business, okay? It might just be a job, but it's better than what you had when you walked through the door. So appreciate it. Appreciate what, you know, with your blessing for that, you know, for that time being to the Lord pushes you to something better. Okay? So when you get ready for that job interview, like I said, you want to sit up in your seat. You want to talk clearly. You want to talk not loudly, but you want to have, you know, the volume at a moderate tone. Okay? You want to have your questions prepared that you want to ask about, whether it's dress code, whether it's, you know, what the payment cycle is, what the insurance, the benefits is like, dress code, whatever questions that you might have, you want to have those locked in your head. If you don't have them written down, you want to have them locked in your head, ready to go when it's time. Okay? And when that employer gets up and he calls your name, it's like, Todd, can you accept my office, please? And you want to look him dead in his eye, you want to give him a firm handshake. You don't want to walk up to him, what up, Dow? And give them some dap and walk on in there. You don't want to walk in there, you know, leave that stuff in the street. We're trying to get a job. We're trying to get paid. We're trying to get some money. Now I'm getting the money. Then silly. We ain't going to get the money. No, bringing the attitude that we would have towards our friends, you know, while we out hanging out in the streets or whatever, bringing that to the job market. No, that's not going to work. Different attitude, different mindset, different types of people. This is a place of business. You got to have a business mind, okay? So, Once you step to that employer, you look him dead in his eye, give him a firm handshake. That right there lets him know, whether you believe it or not, that lets him know, okay, yeah, he looks like somebody I want to hire. Because he doesn't look down at the floor when he talks to me. He don't look off to the side when he talks to me. He looks at me dead in my eye. He wants me to believe in him. So he's looking me dead in my eye. He's giving me a firm handshake. yeah, I like this guy already, and he's dressed appropriately. Okay, so when you come in, when you sit down in that chair, you want to look at him dead in his eye, almost like he owe you 10 G's and he's 30 days late paying you. All right, you know, so when you're looking at him in his eye, you want to make sure you're hearing everything he is saying. Don't get lackadaisical mentally when you're focusing on what you got to do when you get out of there, what you then did yesterday, or that phone call you just got that just pissed you off. No, you want to be in tune with everything that he is saying, so that way if he asks you to repeat back everything he said, you can do it. Okay, so you want to be in tune to everything he is saying. You want to listen closely when he's asking you questions about, you know, where'd you go to, what'd you go to high school at? What'd you do for college? What are your plans? Do you plan on going to college? You know, how do you think you can be a valuable asset to this company? You should know pretty much about your work history, how you can benefit that company. You should know your work ethic. You should know your if you're dependable or not, if you're reliable or not, if you're a hard worker, if you're lazy. You should know all these answers before you even walk in that door. Okay, I'd have been on tons of job interviews, and I know exactly what to say. I know exactly what to do because the experience is the best teacher. Okay, so when you step into, and for those who don't know, when you step onto that job interview and he's asking you these questions, you need to have these answers ready. You can't be like, can I get back to you next week? No, it's not going to work. That ain't going to work at all, man. What that's going to do is going to get you a one-way ticket up out of there, and he's going to tell you, don't call us, we'll call you. All right? You have to know yourself to be able to answer them questions. You shouldn't have to think about nothing. You should not run out of answers. You shouldn't run out of conversation, nothing to say. When he brings you a definite question, you need to have a definite answer ready for him. All right? Issues of the day, talk radio, man. We're doing our Part 3 series on how to become better black men, black women, and we're talking about the workplace. All right, call into the show 347-326-9697. You know, I want to say this real quick, and I say this every show because I'm getting kind of irritated that I created this show for people to be able to call in and express themselves and get stuff off their chest and be able to talk about certain things. That's why I created these kind of topics, and getting a little irritated because people do not respond the way that I feel that they should. You know, I'm telling people, if you're sitting back listening, don't be afraid to call in to the show and talk to me. We both learn, like I said before, we both learn from each other. Call in, talk to me, give me your thoughts, because everything, you're going to have a different point of view than I do, so let's get that out, because somebody else might think like you. Now, everybody's not going to agree with me, okay? So for those who don't agree with me, you call in, you never know who's listening. So you'll never know how what you might say may affect somebody's life, and what I might say may affect somebody's life in a positive way. So don't hesitate. All right, don't be afraid to call into the show. You can call into the show. It's not a problem. You know, so I'm not the host is going to bash you or talk crazy to you. No, we talk to each other respectfully, and we get out great dialogue and content on this show. So please, please call into the show, because the show is designed for the people, okay? And so that's why this whole thing was created, all right? All right, anyway, I had to get that off, man. But like I said before, when you're sitting there talking to that employer, make sure that you're talking clearly, you pronunciate, and you're being real direct with your answers, okay? You always want to ask an employer, okay, well, what are the benefits? What kind of benefits do you offer? What is the dress code? Is it a weekly pay cycle, or is it bi-weekly pay cycle, okay? What about retirement, 401ks? Okay, if they ask you, how can you be an asset to this company? Why should I hire you over this next man? Because nobody's going to work harder. I'm reliable. I'm dependable. I'm on time. I do what's not asked of me. You know what I'm saying? I take initiative to do what's not asked of me, and I do everything that's asked of me, whether I want to do it or not, if I believe that it should be done or not. I do my part. I'm a team player. I communicate well. And I don't, you know, so you, all those types of answers will let an employer know, okay, he knows exactly who he is. He's not afraid to say what he has to say. This might be a person I want to take a look into, okay? Once the job interview pretty much is over and you feel like you've done a great job, you want to stand up. Once he rises from his desk and you rise from your chair, you want to look him dead in his eye again, give him a firm shake, say thank you pretty much thank you for your time. I appreciate the opportunity to work with your company. You know, even if they say we'll give you a call, you always want to check up with them. You know, because people are busy, so they might have forgot about you, or maybe they haven't. Maybe they just haven't gotten around to you yet. But the point is, check up with them. Okay, and we're going to just move forward with this. And let's just say you got hired on. They want you to come on in, read the contract. You know, read just, you know, how much you're going to be making and so forth. You go ahead and you sign all that paperwork, everything, you get the rolling. And now it's your first day on the job. Okay, You got past the application part. You got past the following up with the application. You got to the interview. You surpassed the interview. You know, now you're hired. First day of work. First day of work, you always want to be early. Don't give yourself, I don't care if you live right around the corner, give yourself enough time to get there early. It's a good thing to be too early than to be too late. You do not want to be on your first day on your job and you are late. That is not a good sign. You might get fired on the spot. I have seen it happen. I've seen people walk in there 30 seconds late on the job. After they done told you, you cannot be late. They walked there 30 seconds late on the job, and 30 seconds later after that, they was gone. All right? Give yourself more than enough time to get prepared for work. Matter of fact, if you have to be at work at 8, you should be getting up at 6. Okay? And if you got kids, you should probably be getting up earlier than that just to give yourself enough time to get dressed. Matter of fact, even before that, once you know you got a new job and you got to be working at 8 o'clock, that night before, you should be ironing your clothes. So that way, when you get up in the morning, you won't have to worry about that. The only thing you got to do is don't take your shower or whatever, grab a little bite to eat real quick, breakfast or whatever, or get you a couple of lunches, whatever it is that you do. But have your clothes already ready. Because some people take forever ironing clothes. Some don't. But just be prepared. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready, all right? The night before, get all your clothes ironed out, whatever. Get up the next morning, 6 o'clock. You know you got to be working at 8. Get out there. All you got to do is don't take long. You know, get your shower in, get your clothes on, get it. Bam, 6:30, you should be out of the door. You should be at that job no later than 7:30. Half an hour early, ready to rock and roll. And what that shows them is, okay, dang, I took a chance on him, and he's here a half hour early on the first day. He's ready to go. I made a good decision. Now they feel happy. Now they feel good about the fact that they hired you. But if you stroll in there with 7:59, 8 o'clock right on the dot, they're going to be like, oh, my God, we got one of them. Yeah, they're going to be pressing the button every time they come to work. You know, when your first day on the job, you want to show them that they did not make a mistake in hiring you, so you need to be there half hour early. On the first day, and when they're once you get done doing that, and they take you back to your work area, wherever it might be, whether it's your desk, whether it's out in the field somewhere, if you're doing delivery, doesn't matter. Make sure you have a clear understanding about breaks, lunches. And what your job is going to be. I know they might have told you this in their interview, but when you're out there, you know, you have to definitely know. You do not want your first day to be a disaster because you didn't know how long break was or when break started, when it ended, when lunch was, when it started, when it ended. You thought, I didn't have to do this. I thought you told me to do this. You want a clear understanding of what your job is going to be. Okay? If you do not know what your job is going to be, and maybe you heard something wrong, maybe you need to write it down. You're not a person that has a good memory like me. Got a bad memory. So I write stuff down. I put stuff in my phone and my calendar so that way I know. Even if it's like a certain dollar amount that I need to remember, I'll text it to myself just to remember. You know, some of the things that you have to do if you have a challenge of remembering things or whatever. But you definitely want to have a for sure idea of what it is that you're going to be doing. And once you know that, then everything else, then you're home free. Okay, now it's time to do your job. When So now you done surpassed everything. Now you're on the job. Now you're actually physically doing it. When you do your job for the first time, you definitely need to take your time and make sure that you do it right. Employers would rather see you do the job slow and efficient than fast and mess it up, because that lets them know that, okay, you're just the type of person that want to rush through things. You don't want to take your time to do the job right. They may argue and maybe they may fuss about the fact you take all day doing your job, but when that job is done A1, it's immaculate. That's what they want to know. That's what they want to see. They want to see their job done right. They know it may take you, half an hour to do one thing, but they know once it's going to be done the right way. And eventually, once you get in the habit of doing things the right way, your speed and your efficiency will increase. Okay, it's like anything else. Practice makes perfect. Once you do something for so long, it's nothing until you can do it with your eyes closed. Okay, but make sure when you're doing that job that you do it right. If they say shoot 7 screws, you shoot 7 screws. Don't let yourself get down the line, assembly line, and you shoot, well, I'll let that one go by. You know, you do your job and make sure you do it correctly and efficiently. Okay, and just spend that. And over time, your speed will build up. Okay, they want to see quality, not quantity on your first day. They want to see to make sure that you can at least get the job down pat. Okay, and once you've done your job and it's time for your first break, go on your break and get back early. You know, it's your first day of work. You don't want to mess it up. So go to on lunch and breaks, make sure you go and you get back early. Okay, don't flirt with time, because anything can happen out there while you're out there on lunch, while you're out there on break, you know. So make sure you get there and get back on time. Now, once you've been at your job for a while, you're around people for 8 to 10 hours out of the day, depending on what your job is. Some people that work 12 hours a day, some people sick, depending on whatever it is you're doing. Now, for the last bit of the show, I want to talk to you how to deal with people on the job, especially us. You know, when you're dealing with people on the job, it is easy to get personal with people because you're around them all day. You're actually around people at your job more so than you're actually around people in your house, because you see them every day, all day. You don't see your friends every day. You don't even see your girlfriend every day unless you live with you. So you're at the job more than you're at home. So what do you do when it comes time to building relationships on the job? A couple of things you need to worry about. You do not need to go in there telling everybody your business. Your business is your business, not everybody else's. You got to call it. Hold on a second. Hey, thanks for calling into the show, man. What's your question or comment?
Not much, man. Just trying to catch up with the topic right now. I'm a daily caller, so I'm just getting my dose of call talk for the day.
Yeah, it sounds like Dre. Is it Dre?
That's me.
What up, bro?
You know it.
Basically, this is what we're doing today, part three. You know the part three series. Part three of a four-part series. And today I was speaking on getting prepared in life on the job, pretty much, for us. It's always starting all the way with the application, to following up with the application, to getting prepared for the job interview, successfully doing the job interview, to your first day on the job. And right now where I'm at is building relationships, how to have relationships with people on the job, working relationships.
Right. I kind of caught how you said that your business is your business. That's almost rule number one for African-Americans, because we go to the job and we tell you the full story right on the first day.
Yep, right on the first day. And people have gotten so used to using the word friend that they feel like they even talked to somebody for a week, and that's my friend.
And we
no,
friends.
No, it's not. Yeah, that's your coworker. That's your coworker. That is not your homie. That ain't your sister. That is your coworker. And when you go and start dealing with people on the job, you have to limit the amount of information that you tell people. Basically, the only thing people need to know about you on the job is your name. Okay, is your name. Where you're from or something like that. But that all that extra information, until you get around and talking to people, that's all the other information is personal.
Right.
I'm going to go to this next caller. Hold on a second. Thanks for calling the show, man. What's your question or comment? Caller?
All right. They must have been on the job calling in. That's all right. That's the other part we got to do. Stay focused when you on work.
Yeah.
You got to stay focused. Quit text messaging and, you know, leaving. A lot of people go to the job and leave, you know, for stuff that really they don't have to go take care of.
Exactly. When people, on this last part of the show, I want to make sure I stay on topic with this. Building relationships on the job, it is okay to have certain conversations with people, but keep it professional, keep it business. I've done it myself. You get around people so much, you get comfortable around them. Then you get comfortable coming to work, telling them your problems, telling them your business. And then you look up, that's the same person that told everybody else your business too on the job. Now everybody know your business. You know, everybody know who you are and what done happened last night.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You know, it happens because you're around them so much, but you got to be able to cut it off at some point. And because that life on the job, certain people get so wrapped up in the job life that they make that their life, that they work is everybody at their job is their friend, and they hanging out with them every day. And next thing you know, y'all getting into it on the job because, you know, you done pull this person too close into your life, into your personal life, when they really, you never would have met them anyway. You know what I mean? It has not been worked there. So people have to understand and keep your coworkers to a certain extent. Everybody don't have to, you know, you weigh it out, but pretty much when you build relationships on the job, it's better to keep it professional, because pulling people to your business, them assume there is a slight chance of them same people can become your enemies.
Yeah, and another good point too is a lot of people on the job, they discuss things like their pay rate and vacation time. That's your personal business. You got to keep that information to yourself. Management look down on that if you were the one out on the floor leaking information out or trying to start up conflict because such and such is allowed 5 extra minutes on break. You worry about what's allotted to you, and you stick within that time frame. You worry about taking care of yourself. Do not be in there trying to run for office councilman or president of the upset committee, because certain people go to a job, and then they get in communication with somebody else, and they got a problem. But they only tell you half the story. So now you run around thinking that Johnny's getting mistreated. But in actuality, Johnny's been calling in every day. Late coming in. You know, Johnny's kids is calling, the supervisor's cell phone. It's a lot of different stuff that you're not hip to, or you're not available to even know. It's beyond you. Then you get involved on the tail end, and all of a sudden you like Todd Cochran, and you want to speak up for somebody else's issue. That's not the best route to do that.
And I'm gonna let the listeners know now. Me and the college listen to Dre. We used to work together, and we started
at an undisclosed place.
Yeah, we ain't gonna disclose. We're not gonna disclose. Moved up. We worked in the same spot. We was fixing,
assembling components.
Yeah, quality. You're a supervisor now, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
started
at the ground level, the bottom of the tolling pole. I came in at an 03, and we was both doing the same job. He went on to be now the supervisor and running the whole show. I went to being a floor supervisor for the company that hired the people that came in, temp service. And what I found out is people honestly believe that you need them more than they need you. You know, I'm going to give you an example. There used to be this guy that worked there, came in late every day. My job was to highlight people, make sure everybody was there on time. Nobody was allowed to be late. This gentleman decided to come in and work late every day. But the only reason why he didn't get fired, the supervisor came to us and said, look, he was a great worker. He's one of my best in the line. I got to have him. What can we do? So I extended his availability, which I should not have did, but just to look out for us, because as soon as you fire one of us, you know, people, oh, man, you could have looked out for me, dog, and blah, 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 blah. So I did that, risking my own neck. I extended his availability, and he came in later. After the, as a matter of fact, I sent it to 7:30. The Joker started coming in at 8 o'clock, you know, trying to help him out, do something, risking my own neck, and now he started coming in at 8, so I had to let him go. Even, it does not matter if you're making $2 an hour. You work that $2 an hour job like you're making $20 an hour because you never know where it might lead you. Me and Andre started on the same floor making next to nothing, no benefits, no nothing. But look where he's at now and look where I'm at. You know what I mean? We both moved. I don't work there anymore. But he no college degree, and he's out there making the same amount of money that the people with a bachelor's degrees. Because
right.
He worked that job, no, he took the advantage to learn more about the job, treat the job like the way, you know, I mean, to respect it like it was something, not disrespect it, appreciate what he had because not it wasn't too much out there. Now look where he's at. When you on the job and you working and you building relationships, keep your personal business. It's hard to do, yeah, because you're talking to people all day. They're asking what you're doing this weekend or do you got kids and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? In the end, it may sound rude, but look, I'd rather not talk about that.
Right.
I don't bring my personal business to
the
job.
Don't borrow no money.
Yeah.
Don't show up at a job borrowing money. Don't turn into the also, you know, the charity case of the job, too.
Yeah. You know,
a lot of people do that. They come to work and they got their Sprint bill hanging out their purse, their IPL, rent man, disconnect notice. You do not want to be that person that everything in your life outweighs the actual the task at hand. That we got to ask about every family member you got because you told us so much. We concerned about Auntie Clarice and we don't know her.
Exactly. Exactly. People need to understand that you are there to perform a task for the employer that hired you. Get your paycheck, take care of your family, whatever it is, and go on. You're not there to solve everybody's problem. You're not there to be Dr. Phil and an assembly worker. You know, you are there to get your to do your job and to take care of what you need to take care of. If a lot of people kept a lot of their personal business out, the job place would not be as bad as it is, especially where I work at.
And if that is too much for you to be able to do, you need to find a way to work from home by yourself. Because you will make yourself an outcast on your job if you come to work looking for a certain amount of sympathy, a certain amount of camaraderie, a certain amount of belonging to some group. Only group I'm belonging to is Chase Bank. Long as the check cash, I'm doing exactly what they ask me, nothing more. If you got internet access, don't spend 2 hours MySpacing when you need to be reading emails. Don't spend 2 hours, you know, chit-chatting on your cell phone just because you got it with you. Make sure you do everything that's under, you know, under your regulation before you go out to regulating other people's job. Watch the breaks. Watch the lunch. Be respectful to your coworkers. Treat everybody just like you said at the end of every show. Treat people like you want to be treated. Love people the way you want to be loved. And because if you do, it'll open doors to another job. So right now you may be the bag boy at Kroger, but that's not your permanent situation for you. God did not put you here to stop chasing your dream. But it starts at home and at work. If you cannot work a simple job, I'm not from Indianapolis. You know, I moved here. But the thing is, a lot of people got that ambition of moving some. I got some news for you. If you do not know how to work where you are currently, if you can't deal with your current situation, it don't make a difference if you jump around from city to city, state to state, job to job. You will be in the same situation because you have not obtained those skills to be successful. Success is not based on the job. You cannot let one job, one situation define you. Being prepared is prepared for whatever come your way. And the best way to do that is always when you walk into any situation like that, make sure you remember who you are.
And that was definitely, especially with this show being titled How to Become a Better Black Man, Black Woman, I'm really speaking of our people because we have a lot of mental breakdowns on the job. You know, sometimes you have so much, you know, black people, you know, not all of us. Let me make sure I clarify that because, you know, people take what I say the wrong way. Not all of us. But for those that do, we make the job so bad to where some people don't even want to come to work. I used to dread going to my job sometimes. I used to come around the corner and see this certain person. I'm like, oh my God, here we go again. I hope this day. I used to say prayers out of my car if I went to work just because I wanted a good day. I didn't want a headache. I was having a good morning, and knowing this person gonna be at work can just ruin my whole day. And it's gonna ruin my whole day. You know.
And you know the worst part about working in an environment, especially factory, assembly, anywhere where it's 200, 300, 60 people, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
When you got different races of people, what bothers me the most, and I got to get this off my chest for anybody that's listening, is to hear black people use the N-word in front of white people or anybody other than their immediate circle. We got to cut that out. We got to cut that out. If you continue to say that in front of them, they will continue to treat you that way, and I guarantee
you. Exactly.
They pick up on that.
Yeah, and I'm glad if they notice ignorance, they're gonna treat you ignorant. A lot of them still have racism inside of them, and they still look at us a certain way. But don't give them no ammunition. You know what I mean?
Please.
Don't give them no ammunition. Let them be looking at you with their eyebrows down, like, dang, he carries himself pretty good. She carries herself like a lady. She ain't out here hooking up with every dude in the building. You know what I mean? Walk around with next to nothing, ain't got no drawers on, butt hanging all out the jeans. You know, it's a time and place for everything, and that's not the place for it. Your job is a professional place for them to give you. They paying you. Understand why you're at a job. That's, matter of fact, people don't understand this, Dre. An employee. This is seriously. This is the one thing that honestly people probably don't even think about. They probably go home and think like, "Yeah, I just got this new job, man. Ain't nothing." You don't understand. An employer has a product that they're trying to sell to the world. They need an X amount of people to make sure that product is in the hands of customers. Every day and accessible to them every day. So if they don't have a certain amount of workers, a certain amount of equipment flowing through that building every day, and a certain amount of customer service reps, then operations don't work. They don't make their money. You don't get paid. You get fired. So
and you know why they don't know that one? You know what the disconnect on that one is? It start back at the orientation. Because they explain that part to you up front. We need to do such and such amount of unit. Every business, every whatever, is built on a certain tack time. So somebody came out, engineered that. They know how long it takes for you to perform your operation. They have an expectation for your operation. It should happen in a certain amount of time. Your goal should be to figure out how to make it happen with that type of time and then get even better than what they're expecting from you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other part. But when they explained that in the orientation, we were sending a text message. The female next to her underwear was chewing. Her underwear was chewing. I wasn't paying attention. I was cheating the drug test, so I had to add the urine. I mean, you know, we're not focused.
No, we're not.
We're not focused when it's time to really pick up on the information. So, like you said, when you go out there, you thinking that you got over on them, but there's an expectation for you. And then when they let you go because you did not meet the expectation, you're asking what happened.
Let me relate this to something where some people can understand it. It's almost like being part of a basketball or football team. They needed X amount of players to play the game.
Right.
Okay. And once the coach, which on the job is your boss and the person in charge, once they design the play for you, and what it is your job, whether you're a receiver, if you're a small forward on basketball team, running back, whether you're a point guard, don't matter. Whatever that coach designs that play out, and he hands it to you, you're supposed to go execute that play. And if you don't, your team don't win. When the president of a company executes the game plan out to the workers, and you're going to choose the screws, you're going to plug this wire. If you're not out there executing that, that means he's getting poor reviews out there on his product, which means people ain't buying it, which means he's losing money. Which guess who falls next after they lose money? This is a business. Exactly. You get fired. So now all that laughing and joking you was doing, I ain't worried about that. Boo, boo. Not taking responsibility for your job. Now you hurt everybody because now you're going to get fired. We might shut down because I can't keep up no more because y'all ain't bringing out a good product. This is business. They're trying to make money, and they're going to pay you for doing their job. Yeah, you're not going to get paid what they're getting paid. They're going to underpay you, of course, because they want to make top dollar. But they paid you $30,000 a year to come in and plug two wires. You make sure them two wires is plugged every unit or whatever it is, whatever job you're doing. If your job is to have a report out at 7 o'clock, you better have a report out at 6:50 every day. just to give right. yourself enough time to check the corrections on it,
the
check any mistakes. Yeah, proofreading and all that. If your job is to pour some cement in a little hole, you man, that better be the nicest hole on the whole street filled with cement, because what you do determines how that's going to turn out, and it's going to determine whether you got a job the next day.
Right, and something else, too, what people don't realize, too, is your performance determines a certain amount of safety and other, you know, job security for not only you but your coworkers. Just like being on a team. If you're the point guard of the basketball team but you lead the team in rebounds, that's fine that you did that. But you did not distribute the ball. Yeah, you didn't do your job. So you may have went to work and you may have been giving everybody in the area a ride back and forth to work. But if that made you late for work, while you did a good deed for them, you did a bad deed for yourself.
Yourself, yeah. You have to play your position. You have to play your part. You might have been the person on the team. The coach told you, look, this is what you do. You're going to put this insulation in. That's all you're going to do. That's all you do. But you notice before it gets to you that something else ain't done. So instead of you focusing on your job, you help out the next person behind you, and you do their job. Nothing wrong with that. Good looking out. But don't let that cause you to do your job wrong. Because if it's causing you to get backed up, then you exactly. So if it's causing you, and people think this is wrong for you to go down there and say something. But at the same time, nigga, it's not gonna be me. I got kids at home. You feel what I'm saying? So you need to do your job. You know what I mean? Or I can let your job, huh?
And on top of that too, when you work in a team environment, they could fire me. For something
exactly.
you did. So they'll
yeah,
say
yep.
that our output is not up to par
yep.
as a whole.
Well, maybe let's talk on see, me and you, we're used to a certain type of job. Let's talk to about somebody on, let's say you're an administrative assistant at a law firm.
Man, you could be a school teacher, whatever.
Yeah.
If I'm teaching first grade, you teaching second grade, but I suck. When the students get to you, you ain't got a chance. They may shut the school down because I'm doing such a bad job.
Or the funding, or that raise that you were supposed to get. Man, you may not even see that because them kids didn't learn nothing. So now you're really teaching. You're a second grade teacher, but you got to teach first and second in one class because that teacher before you was too busy worried about her husband that cheated on her.
Right.
Or she worried about her nails that's going to get done. Or now they're
sleeping with the student.
Yeah,
the way it's going now, sleeping with the student, fighting the student. I mean, it's a lot going on.
It's a lot going on. Us as black people, we have a very small margin of error on the job. We got a small margin on the error just living life every day. But on the job,
you know what's
have,
funny about it? The error's already been made for you by that other guy we talking about.
Yeah.
You went to work purposely focused. You showed up. They said be there at 6:45. You got there at 6:35. You had breakfast. You read the paper. You are aware of the job at hand. I got to work at 6:55.
Right.
Because I was late. Now you might as well have been late because the whole operation is behind. The whole thought process of whatever you do is now thrown off. They was in a meeting about to promote you, and I walked by. Then they looked at you like this, dude. Because they see that who you surround yourself with. Managers see that. Management notices that. If they see you with the riffraff, and that's regardless. And this is not just for black people. So if you white out there listening, Hispanic out there listening, this can help you too. You got to figure out when you do make a friend on the job. Do I want to know this person in the job or outside the job? Because there's certain people on the job you can know, and nobody else know you know them.
Exactly.
They can be the best friend outside the job.
The job, but inside the job, you don't even want to associate with them because they're going to be somebody.
This dude is your kryptonite. Right, this dude is your straight kryptonite.
No, and as a matter of fact, I'm glad you said that too, because when at my job, I got a buddy of mine who works right across from me, and the supervisor know me and him is cool, so if I don't show up to work or he don't show up to work, first thing they come and do is ask me, where is he at? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you can be guilty by association, just like in anything else. If the police pull you over, you may not be a bad person, but you with a bad crowd, so now you're guilty by association.
Right.
You know what I mean? We have to know, we're on the job, man. People understand something. You're on the job, they are paying you to make sure that their business is ran good, and they're going to pay you X amount of dollars, they're going to give you X amount of benefits, they're going to give you all these little perks or some perks, and then your job is, this is what you're here to do. If you do not like that job, if you hate your job, you hate your career, you need to find something else to do and let somebody else who appreciates having a job, let them work it, because we're all trying to do, we're all here for one common goal, and that's to make money, retire well, and take care of our family. And then one of the three ain't on your top priority list, then you need to go find something else to do.
What are you doing? Because on top of you working, there's somebody else depending on you that you're not realizing.
Yeah.
And that person may be your mother with just having a sense of pride, knowing that you ain't in the street taking that chance. Your kids, your wife, your family, the people
could be,
that...
It could be a woman.
Your woman.
Yeah.
And the people that loan you credit.
Exactly.
Capital One, them, they don't really, they're not really impressed with you. They're impressed that you go to work.
Work, exactly. You
That's
can't
how
buy
you
a car or a house without a work history. You can't buy a car or a house without a work history. You know, if people think that this this job don't matter. No, it does matter, because somebody around you in your life is dependent on that check, too. You're not the only one dependent on that check. You got
the only person
you got
list,
hey.
The only person list MySpace is Tom as a job. Tom can write down he was on MySpace all day, because Tom making money off that. If you write that down, you like a fool.
Exactly. You know, you got IPL depending on your check, the gas company depending on your check, the mortgage company depending on your check, the car insurance, cell phone, the house phone, the cable, the kids, their food, and their school, and their spouse, and your grandmother who's depending on her little, might have a little affliction or something she's depending on. Then you got your aunties, your uncles, your nieces, your nephews, and it runs down the line, man. It's a lot of people depend on that check. You know, really, you ain't even working for your family, you were really working for a whole truckload of people. You don't need them.
And don't forget about the haters who waiting on you to fall off.
Fall, exactly. You know, they don't want you to come work so they can have something to talk about.
You got to always keep them in mind, because they got to be part of your, you got to have your hater stunner shades on too. Where you can come in, identify who's hating, and learn how to block him out.
Yep. Everybody.
You ain't got your hater vision on, you in trouble.
So there for you to say hi and bye to, you got your certain people at your job that you just say to. You got some people that you don't need to speak to at all. You just need to keep it moving. And then you got your people that you actually can have a one-on-one with.
Right.
And you got to watch how far you take that. Keep it professional. Keep it. Do your job accurately and efficiently.
Wear the proper attire.
Yeah, the proper time. Make sure you come in and on time, be dependable and reliable, be a hard worker. But understand the bigger picture. You're not there to make friends. You're not there to meet your wife. You're not there to hang out with the supervisor after work because you want to kiss his butt so you get little certain things on the
overtime.
Job. You are there for one main reason only, to take care of your family, take care of yourself. Take care of your kids. You know what I mean? You are there for that reason only, to make that dollar. You are not there for anything else. If anything else happens, good and dandy. But the main purpose of that job is to make and provide a living for you and your family. Dre, I want to thank you for tuning in, bro. You know, same time tomorrow. We might continue this on tomorrow to the final series of this show. Right on, tune in, man. Everybody out there, tune in tomorrow, 8 o'clock, same time, same channel. I want to thank all the listeners for listening. And like I always say, and I say it every day, and I ain't going to change the saying because I believe it and I live it. Treat, love each other as you expect to be loved. 100, God bless. That was a hell of a show. That was...